Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus says this, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, as a teenager, when I was bored and it was late at night, I would flip through the five TV channels we had in our basement, and one of the shows that was often on was Seinfeld. And as I was writing my message for today, one episode in particular came to mind. It was entitled The Calzone. And here's what happened in that episode. One of the main characters, George Costanza, he works for the Yankees baseball team. And one day he brings a calzone to lunch from a particular restaurant. Well, the owner of the Yankees, George Steinbrenner, he's intrigued by this. The calzone looks good, and so he tries George's calzone, and he loves it. And so he has George bring them calzones every day for lunch. And because they have lunch together every day, George kind of becomes Mr. Steinbrenner's right-hand man, and they make all these decisions together during lunch, all because of the calzones. But here's where the plot thickens. There's a tip jar at the calzone restaurant. And one day, as George is getting his daily calzones, George, he throws a dollar in the tip jar. But at that exact moment, the owner looks away, and he doesn't see George tip. And so when George walks away, the owner kind of gives him a nasty look like, "Thanks for nothing." And here's what George says later as he's talking with his friend Jerry. He says, I got no credit. It's like I'm throwing a buck away. If they don't notice it, what's the point?" And so the next time he goes to get calzones, he makes a special effort to make sure the owner sees that he tips, but at the last second, the owner's distracted and he misses it again. And so this time, George tries to reach back into the tip jar to grab his dollar so he can re-tip when the owner's looking, but of course he's caught with his hand in the jar, and the owner thinks he's stealing from him, and so he gets banned from the calzone restaurant, which means he can no longer get the special calzones to have lunch with his boss, and this has a bunch of other effects, which all leads to George losing his special standing with Mr. Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees. But it all comes back to George's words to Jerry, right? If they don't notice it, what's the point? Right, he didn't get any credit for tipping, and that's why he gave it in the first place. And if we're honest, we're not too different from George. You maybe haven't stuck your hand into the tip jar, but we all wrestle with our motivations for doing good things. Well, in a way, this is exactly what we're talking about today in Matthew 6. Jesus is going to challenge us to ask of ourselves, what is your motivation for doing good things? And from where are you seeking credit? As many of you know, over the last few months, we've been doing a sermon series here at Bethesda entitled The Sermon on the Mount, Living the Upside Down Kingdom. We took a break for a while. I was on vacation. We had Palm Sunday, Easter. But we're jumping back into it again. This is a sermon that Jesus gives in Matthew chapters 5 to 7 while on a mountain. And Jesus says repeatedly in the Gospels, the kingdom of God is near. And what he means is that with his coming, he's ushering in a new kind of kingdom in this world. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shows us what life is like in the kingdom of God and how it calls for an upside-down way of living compared to normal life in the kingdom of this world. If you remember, before we took a break with Palm Sunday and Easter, we were in chapter 5 where Jesus looked at six different laws or six different commandments from the Old Testament, and he redefined what it meant to live them out in God's kingdom. Well, today Jesus goes into another familiar topic in Jewish culture, which our reading calls piety. Or in Greek, the literal phrase there is doing righteousness. And there are three practices that Jesus will mention here: giving alms, praying, and fasting. And each of these were common practices for Jews during that time. Alms or charitable gifts were given regularly on Sabbath in synagogues or at the temple. Adult Jewish males were expected to pray three times a day, morning, afternoon, evening, and before and after meals. We also know that many pious Jews, like the Pharisees, fasted twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And so these practices were standard obligations, standard religious practices that Jews often did. And as we're going to see, these are also things that Jesus expects of his followers in his kingdom. So look again at how he begins in verse 1. He says this: "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Jesus gives us a nice summary here of what he's going to talk about in the next several verses. He says, beware. In other words, watch out, be on your guard against this. There's a danger here for those who are doing this. And what's the danger? It's practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. The ESV translation says practicing your righteousness. In other words, it's talking about the way you practice your devotion to God, your obedience to God. And the warning is against doing these things in order to be seen by others. And so what we're talking about today, again, is our motivations. What is your motivation for living out your faith? For why do you pray? Why do you give? Why do you attend church? Why do you serve? Why do you obey God's commandments? Jesus says if you're doing these things so that someone else will notice you and what you're doing, we have a problem. I went to college at Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. And for 3 years, I was an on-campus security guard. And it was a pretty good job. There are a few places on the planet safer than a Christian college in a suburban neighborhood. Our main job was just kind of patrol the campus. If you notice anything suspicious, call the police. I never called the police. Well, one night I was assigned to some off-campus apartments we had, and I saw this car drive into the lot. A girl got out. She went into her apartment. Well, after a little bit, I realized she left her dome light on. And I was thinking, oh, no, she left her dome light on. Her battery might be dead in the morning. Is there some way I can contact her? But it's like the middle of the night. I don't know which apartment she's in. And so eventually I just tried the car door, and it was unlocked. And so I turned the dome light off. But I specifically remember thinking, you know, I should really leave her a note, you know, letting her know that I turned her dome light off. And she would have had a dead car battery if I hadn't done that. But then I realized how kind of dumb I was being, right? She didn't need to know that. It wasn't anything special, didn't take any talent. I just kind of wanted someone to know what a good little deed I had done, right? There was this part of me that thought, if I don't leave a note, this woman will never know how I rescued her from this dead car battery. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about today. How often are we motivated to do something right or good by the attention others will give us? And so what Jesus is warning us against is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And so Jesus, he gives three examples for us, three case studies of what he's talking about. The first one has to do with giving. Look again at verse 2. He says, "So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, so that you may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Right? Jesus is talking about giving alms, which is charitable giving, giving to the poor, giving to the temple, the synagogue, in our case to church or other ministries. And notice what Jesus says. He says, so whenever you give alms. And Jesus will say the exact same thing in the other two examples. Whenever you pray, whenever you fast. In other words, Jesus assumes that his followers, his disciples, will continue doing these things. These are all good things to do. These are all things, in fact, he expects of citizens of his kingdom. He expects us to be generous givers. He expects us to be devoted people of prayer. He even expects us to fast at times. But what he's going to show us is that generous giving is not enough. What's just as important is our motivation, our heart behind the action. Jesus doesn't just want us to do righteous things. He wants us to be righteous people. Right? Kingdom righteousness is not just external, it's internal as well. And so he gives us this image of someone who's on his way to give it to the synagogue or the temple, and in front of him march the trumpeters, right? Blowing a fanfare for him as they walk and they're attracting this crowd. Now, this image, maybe it was literally happening, maybe some are literally doing that, or maybe it's kind of just an exaggerated illustration Jesus is making to make this point. But in any case, Jesus is saying, when you give a gift, don't go about it by announcing it, right? Look at me and the large gift I'm about to give away. Reminds me quite a bit of something I've seen happening online sometime with influencers who have large followers on sites like YouTube. Mr. Beast is an example of this. He has 471 million subscribers on YouTube, the most of anyone. And he will often upload videos of himself giving money away. I saw a video where he tipped a waitress $10,000, or one where he gives someone an Uber ride and then he gives them the car afterward, or a video where he gives a homeless man a home. And these are great things he does, but then he puts these videos on YouTube and hundreds of millions of people will view them. And this is actually his business model. The more videos he gets out, the more people that watch them, the more ad revenue he receives. And so in the end, he actually makes more money than he gives away. And so you find out that he definitely has an ulterior motive for his generosity and for why he is, you know, in a sense, announcing his giving. Now, that's kind of an extreme example, but all right, we can all think of the benefits for our own lives of other people seeing how generous we are. Now, notice what Jesus calls these kind of givers that he describes in verse 1. He calls them hypocrites. And usually, you know, we describe hypocrites as people who say one thing but do another. But here it's used a little differently. Here Jesus uses that word to describe someone who does the right thing for the wrong reason. In classical Greek, that word, hypocrites, it's hypokrates, and it referred to an actor on a stage. And so you can see how this word evolved into describing someone kind of pretending to be someone who they're not. It's someone who lays aside their true identity or hides their identity by putting on a mask or putting on a disguise and pretending to be someone else. And so their life is a theatrical display, trying to earn the applause of others. This is what Jesus is warning against. And so he says, don't just try to look generous. On the outside, be generous. And this is the big truth that Jesus is revealing to us about his kingdom. In the kingdom of God, the inside matches the outside. In other words, be who you really are all the time. And who you are in private is who you really are. And therefore, the safest way to make sure your motivations are pure is to practice these things in secret. Look again at what he says in verse 3 there. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. Right? It's an interesting image. Basically, he says, give your gift so secretly that even your other hand doesn't know you're doing it. Now, we don't have to be legalistic about this, right? Making sure no one ever sees us give or pray. Again, the main point is, where's your heart at? What's your motivation? And Jesus tells us where our true motivation should lie. First, in verse 2, he says, this is about those who give to receive praise from others. Right? He says, truly I tell you, they have received the reward. And so kind of catch what he's saying there. However you give, whether it's to be seen by others or not, you will get a reward. If you give to impress people, that's your reward. They are impressed with you. But that's it. That's the full reward. But what that also means is that you don't get anything from God. On the other hand, those who give in secret are rewarded by God, it says. Verse 4 says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And we don't know what that means exactly, what the reward will be, if it's now or in heaven. But it does mean, what it does mean is that God's pleased with you. And that in and of itself is a great reward. What could be better than to hear God say of you, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. And so our motivation is not to be seen by others, but to be seen by God and God alone. I like the way N.T. Wright puts it. He says, Jesus wants us to be so eager to love, to please God, that we will do everything we should do for his eyes alone. The second example Jesus gives has to do with prayer. Look at verse 5. He says, and whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues or at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus uses this same idea here as he did with giving. He says, don't go out and pray in public to show others how holy you are, how pious you are. And again, this doesn't mean we can't pray with others or can't pray over someone, but it's specifically talking about not using prayer to impress others. And that applies to any situation. The question is, why are you praying? What's your motivation? Is it to thank God for what he's done? Is it to bring your sins to God and confess them? Is it to seek his guidance or seek his healing? Or do you pray so others will notice you and think more highly of you? Again, all that matters is what God sees, not what others see. In my office behind my desk, I have a quote taped to my wall. It's from John Owens, who's a pastor in the 17th century. And it's this quote. He writes, a minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more. And I put this quote on my wall as a reminder to myself of that this is what's important. And it's really true of all of us. Who you really are is not about what you've accomplished, how impressive your life looks on the outside. Who you really are is about what's going on in your relationship with God in secret. When it's just you and God, that's who you really are. It all begins with our heart relationship with God. Proverbs 4 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life, right? It begins inside. Who we really are begins on the inside and flows out from that. At this point in the Sermon on the Mount, then, Jesus then goes on to talk more about prayer, and this is where he gives the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to save that for next week. But if you jump after the Lord's Prayer, verse 16 to 18, he completes and gives the third example regarding fasting. And he says this, and whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Right? We see the same formula again. Apparently, some would fast. They would make a show of it, show people how hungry they are, how dismal they look. And so Jesus says, when you fast, wash, clean up, so that no one knows you're fasting. Fast to be seen by God alone. And the message in all three examples is the same. Our devotion to God should be practiced not to impress others, but to please God. And we could apply this to all sorts of areas in our faith. We need to examine our motivations for everything that we do related to our faith. And so again, think about these questions. Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bible? Why did you join a Bible study? Why do you serve? Why do you give? Why are you here in church today? It's all about God and not about you. There's one last thing I want to mention. Today we've talked all about not being seen by others. But if you recall, this is exactly kind of the opposite of what Jesus told us to do earlier in Matthew 5. He said this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Right? And this is what we talked about for several weeks, the importance of living out our faith in such a way that we become this city on a hill that draws people to the light of Christ. People should see how different our lives look and how appealing God's kingdom is in us, and they would want to be a part of it. They should see our lives filled with peace and love and faithfulness and purity and truthfulness, see how we even love our enemies, and they're drawn to us, drawn to God's kingdom. And so Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. Well, then how do we reconcile, right, this reading with what we're talking about today? Well, notice the key difference. Back in Matthew 5, Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In other words, let your light shine for God's glory, not your own. And that's what Jesus is talking about today. Don't pray and give and fast for your own glory. And so there'll be many occasions when we should live out our faith in the open if our motivation is to see God glorified through it, if it's to see God's kingdom furthered. But then there are also times when we need to honor, to glorify God in secret, right? Because it's all about God's glory. That's what motivates us. All that we do is to give praise, to give honor, to give glory to God. Let's pray.